Like, don't look at me like you don't know that that's the truth also.
She said that in a talking, like, in the show, like, not a preview?
To the camera on purpose. Do other people not have sensory issues about their necks? Because if I have shirts that the neckline is too high, it makes me want to fucking lose my mind. Oh, it drives me fucking nuts.
Oh, my God. You know what we have to talk about today? For real, for real, for real.
Okay, what?
No, I need you to talk about your bra experience at Target.
Oh, my God. TikTok about this the other day. I did, yeah. Oh. Very, like, stream of consciousness. I'm trying something different on my TikTok because am exhausted with, like, highly produced content. Because, like, we're just doing a lot on the channel. And it's really annoying to me, the expectation that I would be, like, making content on TikTok or Instagram that's, like, thought-provoking and, like, hosting. Blah, 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 blah. And, well, it's hard in the therapy space because other therapist influencers are constantly fucking, like, let's talk about these really deep, heady conversations on every platform about different issues. And, like, I don't have the emotional capacity for that. Just, like, plain and simple, I do not.
Also, sometimes, like, I know it's important and I know, like, but, like, some things are not, like, everything doesn't have to be that deep all the time. Like, sometimes it's really good to have, like, brain candy and, like, good brain time off. Brain off time.
Well, I feel like, yeah, that's kind of my frustration with, like, the therapist influencer niche sometimes is that, like, we don't have to be thinking deeply at every moment of every day for the rest of our lives. Because, like, that's not really good for our brains either. I don't want to be doing deep introspection about every aspect of my humanity every moment that I'm awake. You know, like, sometimes I just want my brain to be quiet.
That has to be exhausting. That would have to be exhausting.
It's exhausting.
Yeah.
I don't like it. But anyways, so I made a TikTok about the bra thing. We can talk about that if you want to.
I would love to. Yeah, because it was a very, I think, especially for you, because you've been having to shop at...
like specialty.
Yeah.
Like online specialty, mostly.
Yeah. And then, or if you went to that, where you have to like get an appointment to go do like a bra fitting and stuff.
Yeah. It's like a whole thing. But also too, can we talk about the fact that the only specialty store here in town, you do have to like get an appointment for and whatever. But also anytime that I would go, they'd be like, we have these three things that will fit
and
you.
And
we can order something for you and have it in 2 weeks. And like, I don't want that. Like,
no, I want a bra now.
Well, and that was the thing that was frustrating about it too, is that it's hard finding clothes as a plus size person. And it's hard finding clothes as a person with really large boobs.
I can only imagine.
And having both of those things be contenders on top of the like gender dysphoria and like not wanting to wear things that are like super femme or like, especially, you know, like Torrid seems to have two speeds where it's like either you're like a receptionist
literally.
You're very ashamed of your body and want to wear very bright
and
pink.
Hide.
Everything. Or you know, you want to wear like graphic tees and like skinny jeans. It's like very, you know, like millennial core, which is fine. Like it's a perfectly valid fashion choice, but it just doesn't resonate with me. And so it was like, felt like this never ending difficulty with clothes and bras. So anyways, all of that to say, one of my goals from the beginning of my reduction.
That was what you told the doctor.
I really wanted to be able to buy a bra at Target because it seems fun, you know?
Just like casually go and like buy a new.
Like being able to buy a bra at like just a regular old store that you can walk into is wild to me because I haven't been able to do that since I was a child. Like I would sometimes be able to find bras at Kohl's when I was a kid.
When was the last time was that? Like also when was the last time you shopped at Kohl's?
Well, also too, like I remember buying bras at Kohl's in high school.
Okay.
But none of them fit me because, and I like didn't know this at the time because I hadn't learned about proper bra sizing, but like my boobs would fall out of the bra if I bent over or like moved too much.
God,
none of those
bras
fit me. Yeah. For those of you who don't know, there's a subreddit called A Bra That Fits that has a calculator. That's what I've been using for like most of my adult life. And it's really helpful, especially because like when you get to a certain size, you have to buy bras based on UK sizing.
Why is there just not one? Like how?
I don't know.
It really feels like the railroads, but if no one had ever gotten involved and we had like just different, like, can you imagine if all roads were different sizes or like like the thing everyone has to wear, like every human on the planet for the most part, I guess. But like wears clothes.
Well, and especially when your boobs are big enough that they like interfere with your daily functioning, like going braless wasn't an option for me.
No.
Not only because like boob sweat is terrible. And
I can't imagine
like,
the sensory.
Yes. In the but summer. Also because like quite literally it would be like painful for yeah. me to not wear a bra. It wasn't even a question of like professionalism or like, you know, being conservative or modest or whatever. It was just like
yeah.
straight up not a realistic option for me because it was so fucking uncomfortable and painful. But like for some reason, we just don't agree about the sizing matrix. Isn't that irritating?
We would be like men would be unclothed.
Yes.
If we but could also, just buy a medium, large, XL, XXL, yes. XXXXL.
One of my friends actually pointed something out to me that I thought was really interesting because I was ranting in my voice notes as I do.
I know. Sometimes I'm like, are we? Because your voice is like always on in our house, whether I'm like editing a video editing or like,
it, yeah.
I'm like, yeah. Is that a voice note? Is she doing a voiceover?
Like, who is she talking to?
I was like, I don't like, do yeah. I get involved? Is this the phone? No.
I was ranting in my voice memos as I do. And my friend was talking to me about clothing sizes and whatever. And they brought up a really good point that men's clothing sizes are somewhat standardized because they needed to be clothed to go to war. They developed standard sizing matrix for men's clothing.
To go to war.
So they could clothe you to be sent off to die. Which is like...
Thanks.
Kind of fucked up. Like, it's still very much a privilege that, like, men's clothing are standardized in size, but also sort of fucking bleak when you think about it.
Though. We only have standardized clothing so that we could die easily at least clothes looking good.
Clothe the people who were being sent off to die.
Die in uniform. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Huh.
That's pretty sad.
That's a new one.
Yeah.
I had not heard that before.
But anyways, yeah, all of this to say, I went to Target earlier this week because I wanted to buy a sports bra. And like, first of all, I think it's a crime that Target sells things that are called sports bras that have no meaningful compression or encapsulation for your breast tissue.
Like athleisure, it has so taken over that there's no... Like, where are you supposed to buy? Like, just talk about them.
I don't know. I don't understand. I posted this on my TikTok because I was like, where are you guys buying sports bras?
Yeah.
Like, what are the rules? I don't understand. I think the other part of this that is hard for me also is that I don't like wearing Razorback anything.
Razorbacks
because it hurts my neck. That's when it, instead of being like straight straps in the back, they do like this number.
Oh, yes,
the crisscrossy thing.
Got it.
That hurts my neck and like activates a lot of my chronic pain. So I just don't like that.
Understandable.
So that's also an issue. But truly, I only found one bra at Target that was actually a sports bra that would like compress my breast tissue.
Yeah.
And it was sized way smaller than the rest of them. The largest size that was available in store was like easily two sizes too small for me. Except that I tried on one of the like athleisure ones and it was like too big. I had to size down.
See, that's what I don't understand too. Is like
what are the rules?
Like you're only allowed to exercise and work out if you are
thin, apparently.
Thin and don't have
but also breasts. Fat people like, should go to the gym and lose weight.
Yeah, so like which is it? Like do you want fat? This is just
well, I don't
back
get
to
it.
Like when people are like, oh, it's like, it's not the same.
Yes.
Or it's all the same for everyone. And it's like, no, because I can't even buy clothes to go to the gym if I
literally
wanted to.
No. The other thing that irritates me too is that like Target is doing this thing where they've removed all the plus sizes from the store and they tell you like, oh, you can just buy them online. Except that thin people get to try stuff on without having to purchase it first, but fat people don't. So you can buy one thing. Wait for it to come. Pay for shipping, by the way.
Oh, of course.
Wait for it to come. Try it on. And then if it doesn't fit, then you have to return it.
Yeah.
And then you buy another thing. You wait for the money to hit your account.
So, like,
you buy another thing.
How much time has gone by the time
But also, like, if you're not wealthy or if you don't have disposable income, you don't get to do the thing that thin people do, which is try on 6, 7, 8 things at one time and go home with 2 or 3 items that, like, actually work for you.
Oh,
If you don't have the money to do that, then you just have to buy one thing at a time and wait. And then buy one more thing and then wait. It's ass.
And again, too, like, I am so thankful that you have all this information.
I know.
About bras and how, like thank God you know about SheFit already.
I know.
And,
yeah.
I'm excited for it because your bra should be getting here this week, right?
So, not until Friday.
No.
The shipping on SheFit is ass. I'm really annoyed about it. You can pay, like, $15 fucking dollars.
Is it an American company or?
Yeah. You can pay $15 fucking dollars or some shit to get it shipped with, like 3 to 4 days
it's
or something.
A piece of clothing. Like that's so...
I don't know. Overtone is the same way where the shipping, even though the company is located in Arizona, by the way.
Overtone is located in Arizona?
Uh-huh. Why? I learned that the other day.
You
My hairdresser
that
told me that. And I was like, hello?
It took you weeks to get... Like your hair color
At
had basically faded.
Weeks. Yeah.
By
I
the time
missed,
it came.
Yes. We went on vacation one time and I wasn't able to get hair dye here.
Right.
Because I didn't order it 2 weeks in advance. I ordered it 1 week before we left.
God, yeah.
And it didn't get here in time.
Ugh.
Anyways, that's not relevant. The point that I'm making about the bras is that I went to Target, I couldn't find a sports bra, and I was like, well, I've wanted to buy a like real bra because I basically just been wearing like little stretchy, you know, like
and you look so cute in them.
Tankini
Why
things.
Why would you not?
I really like them. But I was like, yeah, I want to buy a bra with like cups, you know, like an underwire and like clasps. Like, yeah, and yeah. Like in... So I was like, consolation prize. I'll buy a real bra while, so you have while to figure I'm out here.
Your size again, too, obviously. Yeah.
But the thing, this is why this is relevant information that I am so proficient with the like a bra that fits calculator is that for the entirety of my adult life, I've been using that calculator to buy bras online from like specialty places that fit my boobs before.
Yeah.
So I'm very familiar with what my You're rib cage measurement system. Is, yeah. especially. My breast size decreased by a fair amount, but my rib cage is the same, right? I haven't really gained or lost a meaningful amount of weight.
Yeah.
I don't think.
I don't think.
I mean, so. I didn't, I don't think, because when I measured my rib cage, it's the same as it was before.
So that would lead us to believe.
So my bra size before the reduction was a 38 double H, I think, in UK sizes,
yeah.
which in American sizes is like a 38J or some shit. But my band measurement, again, is the same. For those of you who don't know, when you wear a bra, the thing that goes around you, the actual band part of it,
yeah,
that like measurement is supposed to be your rib cage in inches, right? Obviously, in other countries, they use centimeters and things like
because
that.
Because, of course.
Yes, but here in America, we use inches. And so that's that measurement. And then you measure the fullest part of your bust. And whatever that measurement is minus your rib cage measurement is your cup size. So if your band is 38 and your bust is 42, that's 4 inches of difference, right? So 1, 2, 3, 4, A, B, C, D. You would be a 38D. You basically like go through the sizing matrix like 1, 2, 3, 4. And that's how you find your bra size.
It seems very simple.
It's very simple. It seems very straightforward. Right? So I didn't know what my cup size was, but I knew what my band size was. So I was like, great. I have like an approximate estimate yeah. based on like the little stretchy things that I've been wearing and whatever. So I was like, let's try like a 38D, 38 double D. I tried a 40, a 42, I think, like in all sort of varying cup sizes. And when I tell you that not a single one of them was like, even close to clasping around my body.
How's that possible?
I don't understand. Like what sizing metric are we using? Because also I'd like to point out that none of them were the same size.
That's
like if I had laid them all down on the floor in the dressing room, they would have all been different lengths, except they all claim to be 38 inches for the bust measurement.
And you said again too, they were also, some of those were within the same brand, weren't they?
Yes, yes.
So like are we just
and none of them fit, but all of them didn't fit for different reasons.
Yeah.
Which was infuriating like, and so confusing.
I'm like, did you like, just what get are the rules? So astronomically unlucky that you went to the Target that got all the like,
I feel like I'm being gaslighted.
Target on the outskirts of town, I guess, but like I refuse to believe they're mass producing stuff with such
variability.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Because how could anyone ever buy clothes?
It was especially fucking irritating to me because basically, I mean, I walked away with nothing because I was like, there's really not anything in this store. I don't think that would even fit me because by that metric then, I don't think anything even really got close. Like the clasps on the back were at least 3-4 inches apart, like not even anywhere close to my spine, you know?
Yeah.
So in order to get a band size from that Target that fits me, I'd need like, I guess like a 46 or a 48, like almost a 50. Do they even have
one of those?
No, I think that the largest band size that they had was 44, which like might have fit, but I really sincerely doubt it.
Yeah.
So like, I don't know what the rules are.
Because that's also, I think the other, like, I would say you're like closer to straight size, if anything, but then like still, like how is anyone?
I don't know.
Like,
well, that's the thing, too, is that like Target pulling plus sizes from the stores means that like for me as a like person who's, you know, on like the
mid or like
in the plus size community, they call us small fats,
yes. which I think like is baby fats.
So funny. Yeah,
I love that.
But like I can still fit into some like straight size matrix clothes. Right. But if I were basically any fatter than I am, nothing at Target would fit me, basically.
And like,
which is so fucking, like, not fair.
Also, too, which always cracks me up, too, because, like, didn't Old Navy do the thing, too, where they had, like, the plus size thing?
They, and like, they went rolled great. Out. Well, first of all, they rolled out this whole plus size thing.
Yeah.
They did a bullshit job of marketing it.
Okay.
And it was still, like, pretty well received. It was, like, pretty positively received. Yeah. And then they were like, nobody's buying it, so we're getting rid of it.
Like
you can buy it online instead.
But also, too, the fact that stuff was always out of stock.
Yes. But also, like how, this is the thing that, like, as plus size people, we're very aware of what stores fit and what stores don't, or like what stores carry things in store.
Yeah.
And so if you're not doing a good job of marketing the fact that this is a big change, like this is all new, you might not have been able to shop here before, but you can now. Fat people aren't just going to show up at your store and like in the hopes of like, well, maybe one day, like no one would do that.
No.
And that's asinine. you know? So like, if you're not doing a good job of marketing to plus size people, but then no one's buying your stuff, it's not because there's not a demand for it. It's because you didn't do your job as a retailer to inform me that I can shop there now.
Also, my impression is they're like making like 10 pieces of the clothing and they're like, eh, they're sold out, you know, like, and then you just never.
That's the thing that really chaps my ass is that the clearance rack is always full of the extra, extra smalls and extra smalls. Yes. And like, first of all, the fact that we carry those in store and like seemingly no one is buying them. And yet the plus sizes are always sold out online and in store. We sort of ranted about bra sizes for a minute. Sorry.
But that's okay. It's important. It's also like something you haven't gotten to experience.
I know. We are going to make an update video about my breast reduction because my boob is finally fully healed.
The run is coming. Thank the God. Run is coming.
I know. I just want to go for a fucking run before we talk about my reduction.
Running away from you.
I was very envious of you.
We had such a sweet little, not notebook, because a notebook is problematic. What's like a not problematic romantic movie?
Is there one?
Probably not. But anyways, because I was going on a run, yeah, and then you were doing your walk, sweet. And I was like, oh, what if I just go this different way today that I don't normally do?
Yeah.
And I was like, oh, I wonder if I'll run into Mickey, and then you're like, oh, I wonder if I'll run into
the
Aaron.
Same thing.
Yeah. You also went on a different way.
Yeah. I don't normally walk. And we both just kind of Oh, it's my dad. Shout out to my dad. We do want to have my dad on the podcast eventually.
That'd be amazing.
We just need to figure out. You think Mickey's a good orator? Somebody left a comment on this week's main channel video that like me rubbing my temples or something was like funny to them.
Yeah.
And it actually made me a little emotional because that is so very much a mannerism that I've gotten from my father.
So fucking true.
And the hand thing.
Oh,
you always
image.
Make fun of me for
yeah.
the hand
thing. It's so cute though. It's so endearing though. Like,
yeah, I think it's funny.
Yeah. I think it's also awesome too because I've known your dad for so long.
Yeah.
He's just like a very, like he just has the best mannerisms.
He's a very emotive guy.
Totally. It's so much fun. Yeah. Like he can tell a story about fucking nothing.
Yes.
And I'm going to sit there wide-eyed and fucking listening.
Any of the mannerisms that you guys think are funny or interesting about me, I probably inherited
Mickey
from my
stole.
Father.
Stole.
Yeah.
Do you think mannerisms are passed down? No, that would just be like just learning them from
I think it's like an absorbed
primary caregiver.
Like a learned behavior thing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What are we actually talking about today again?
We're talking about Love is Blind. I want to start by showing you a TikTok, actually. Okay. We can just cut this in post, but I think it's relevant because it's about like people who like reality TV, especially because reality TV gets such a bad rap for being like vapid and silly, you know, and like, especially like the, it's not like real media thing.
But also too, like, I think us alone are doing the work to change the,
I hope so.
Because like, think of all the great lessons that we have learned.
Yes.
From watching reality TV.
Exactly. Okay, let me play you this TikTok and then we'll talk about it.
Play it for me.
Baby, I don't know where I saw it, but somebody said the smartest person you know watches reality TV. Now, I personally
You're the smartest person I know.
Because when I tell you there's not a single season of Love is Blind that I'm watching without a book to accompany it. Like, if you're watching these shows with me, we're going to refer to the source material. We're going to check on our sources. You know what I'm saying? By the end of it, we might be having a PowerPoint presentation night about our findings. We're doing research. It's field study.
It's field study.
It's anthropology.
That shit's so fucking true, though.
The, like, favorite take that I have now about reality TV is that it's essentially a study in human behavior.
Also, too, like, every time we go back and watch an old reality show, we're like, wow. You know, like, sometimes, like, human progress feels so slow.
I know.
And then you go and watch a really problematic show from
and
the 2000s
like,
or something.
And oh, my
like,
God.
We have made, like, so much. Like, we're not
Leaps
calling
and bounds.
We're not calling gay people the F word anymore. You
I know.
Like,
yes.
On TV.
Literally. Yeah, fuck. That's not an okay thing to fucking say anymore. Yeah.
Wow, that's amazing. Yes.
I know. And I think especially, too, the sexism aspect of it, that, like, reality TV, generally speaking, is more popular with women and femmes than it is with men, especially like cis men, right? And so it gets delegitimized as a form of media that is vapid and baseless and, you know, it's like, you know, there's no substance to it except that it is, right? And it's also like the gossip thing that we've talked about on the channel before, that like gossip is a protective behavior for communities, which is largely a behavior that's engaged in by women because we are the ones who are communicative and who create this network of connection and community that we use to inform people of like who's dangerous or like, you know, new goings on and community norms.
Red flags to watch out for or
yes,
like
yes.
Also too, but then like you see, always see these TikToks of people posting their like spouse or partners or whatever, like creeping and trying to watch the shows.
Exactly.
And then,
because it's interesting.
I used to be that way too. And I was like, I'm just going to fucking watch it with you.
Yes.
Like, it's like, if you want to watch it, just also, it's so neutral.
It's fun.
It is fun. Yeah. It's such a neutral thing to do. Mm-hmm. I just don't understand why you wouldn't want to watch. Like, it's so exciting watching a glimpse into other people's lives, which is why it's popular. Granted, it's cheap and easy to produce.
Yes. Okay, the other thing I wanted to talk about, I lost my train of thought, so we're just moving on. The other thing I wanted to talk about in today's episode is the Jeremy thing.
Oh, we have to. We have to.
Oh, you didn't do your bit.
I didn't do my bit. I brought my sunglasses and everything just to make a point of like how ridiculous it is. And I understand like being hungover and stuff, but I've never been so sure. Also, it just feels so rude and closed off.
Because it is.
I think like, let's just for real. Like if I'm sitting here like this, also, I am wearing a hat and I don't normally wear a hat. Like, okay, yeah, for real, if anyone ever at any point gave you shit or gives you shit for getting a bad haircut and you want to fucking rip down the walls in your house, like you are fucking valid.
Yeah, you're allowed to feel bad, not to rip down any walls.
but I always say like it's not a hard cut to do. Yeah. I really loved my haircut that I had.
Yeah.
And I said, just this, what it looks like, and just a little bit less. Everyone else has always had no issues with that, never had a problem. And I fucking knew from the first razor cut, or from the first...
Yeah, the first little swipe of the clippers.
When she started the fade, and I was like, I'm fucked. I should have just got up right then and there. And I didn't, and it's fine. My hair grows back quick. Mm-hmm. But for the first time, I was actually emotional after getting a haircut.
Yeah.
And it fucking sucked.
Getting a bad haircut is really a blow to the ego, Punkin.
Oh.
It's really difficult.
I can't imagine. Especially women's cuts, too.
Yeah.
People are already so judgmental.
I know.
And also, women are a lot more aware of, like...
I know.
I think the problem with my haircut, too, is that it is technically fine. It's not, like, so bad. It's not so fucked up that, like, everyone would know.
It's not, like, botched. It's just not what you wanted.
I look in the mirror, and I'm like, that's not Aaron.
Yeah.
That's not me.
It doesn't feel like you.
Yeah, I don't like it.
Which is worse.
I don't like it. But anyways, yeah, the whole thing, though, it just feels so closed off to sit here with sunglasses on.
Yeah.
Like, the hat is, like, kind of, like, indifferent to me. It's, like, neutral.
But, sure,
like,
whatever.
Inside the house, fully clothed. After being out all night?
Yeah.
Like,
also, I'm really wondering if he was still drunk while he was having that conversation.
I think
because we sat and watched the episodes back afterwards. We just had our little pizza night and talked about it. And I'm curious now because he didn't look like his eyes.
No. Yeah. I would definitely say like definitely wasn't. So if that was the same night or the same that morning,
mm-hmm.
then now I just don't see like I just can't. There's like a level of privilege and entitlement.
Yeah.
With that attitude that uh-huh. like. Also, like, my thing, they should be, like, the NRA should be fueling these relationships.
Yes!
Like, they should be obsessed off the with charts. Each other.
Yes!
Like, I just can't imagine even, like,
and the resentment is, like, at an all-time high.
Not that it's ever fine or anything, but, like,
sure.
if I was out that late, like, I would have, like, 100 reasons why. Yeah. Also, like, that would just never happen.
No.
But also,
at
I
least
just
not without communicating with me.
I just can't imagine, because in my mind, they should definitely still be, like, we're probably not like shitting in front of each other. We're not pissing in front of each other. We're not like farting and like doing the things generally you do when you get comfortable
really
with
them. New still.
They're way too new to be doing any of that shit. And sort of like come home after drinking. The day of the week is kind of irrelevant, but like also it would be interesting.
Yeah.
I'd be, I mean like if you're getting fucked up
on a Tuesday. Yeah. Like what the fuck's going on there?
And like you're.
And to be fair, we're very domestic in that regard. We're sort of old.
Fair.
Old married couple like in that way.
Cats in that mm-hmm. way. But also too with your new partner.
Yeah.
I think that's the thing that always kind of makes me laugh about like new marriages and new things. And like, I think this is the thing too where like the ball and chain and like the people men just have such a fucking hard time with is that like the emotional and the companionship and like the commitment of it.
Yes.
Like,
why is that so hard for you?
These people that come, generally the men to use binary that come on this show are just so ill prepared. And it's like they put no thought.
Yes.
It's like we're just like
planning.
We're just like, okay, this is going to be better than Tinder.
Yes.
Because I'm guaranteed, like the whole Matthew thing, like, I'm going to find myself like a mate or something, basically. It's so gross.
Yuck.
But like, really, though, they're like, well, at least here, like, I'm guaranteed to find someone who's going to like me, right? Like, I can't be that bad.
And also, like, Jeremy said that and admitted that when he met Laura's parents.
I forgot about that. Yeah.
He said the thing about how bad could it be? Because all of these people are also here to find
and
someone who's married.
Checked.
Yeah.
And, like, are taking it seriously here for the same thing. And like, I know dating for men is abysmal.
No, sure. Yes, of course.
But also like, not because like for the wrong reasons. Like we talked about it on the last time.
Yes. Well, and we talked about this while we were eating pizza and just like recapping the episodes together. Yeah. I have a theory. I know. Please take your glasses off.
Tell me your theory.
It stresses me out.
Tell me.
I have a theory about the men on these shows because specifically Love is Blind, because we have talked before about how difficult Or like, you know, and like online dating generally, like app-based dating sucks. It's built to be
unsuccessful.
Yes.
Like, let's just make that very clear right now.
They don't want you to find somebody. They want you to
come back and spend money.
Because they can try to gaslight you into spending for their, like, you know, monthly memberships or whatever. Cheers. So like, yes, online dating sucks. It's pretty fucking depressing for most people. But I think the thing about these men is that they don't seem to have like really thought through why their experience is difficult on dating apps. You know, like, okay, so usually there's this perspective on behalf of these like types of men that like dating on apps and stuff is so easy for women because like you can
hundreds of likes.
You could get any guy, blah, 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 whatever, right? Except that, like, first of all, the people that are swiping on you and like, you know, that are in your Tinder likes or whatever are not all people that you want to date, let alone people that are like safe, you know?
Yeah. Or like even in it for even kind of like marginally the right reasons, or like to see who sees you as a person.
Yeah, no, exactly. That's the problem too, is that I think a lot of these people also view women on dating apps like a warthog, and you're like being, it's like you're being ripped apart by a bunch of lions. It's like a really violent experience. I've heard honestly you
that more than once now, and it's upsetting both times.
But like, it's true. That's what it feels though. Like yeah, you're like you're a piece of prey that's being ripped apart by a bunch of wild animals, and it's not fun, right? Like, men's perspective that women get a lot of attention on dating apps, and it's like so fun and blah blah blah. Like, sure, sometimes it is. I guess there's like an ego aspect to that, but like for the most part, it feels very dehumanizing. It's very uncomfortable, and a lot of it is very misogynistic in nature. And also that, like, just because you're getting more at or more likes from people who are dehumanizing you and view you as a whole to fuck, literally, doesn't mean that you're having a greater success in finding a long-term partner or experiencing healthier positive relationships.
I don't think, you know, we had a dollar for every rancid like, just so quickly they turn rancid.
You'll message somebody and be like, hey, how's your day going? And then they'll send you something lewd or gratuitous.
Yeah.
Or like, God forbid, a fucking unprovoked dick pic.
Or like,
just like so gross. It's not a fun experience. But I think the thing about this, though, is that like, okay, so we've established all of that, right? Okay. But I think the men come in with this perspective that like, women have so much fun on dating apps, blah, blah, blah. And they also have never experienced what it's like.
That's what we talked,
to get that much attention on a dating app. And so going through this experience where multiple people like them is like this high that they're not equipped to deal with, I don't think, and because they've made no effort to think through this experience beforehand. So then when they're in this love triangle situation, they're like, I don't know how to choose somebody. This has never happened to me before. And also I'm like, you know, power drunk on all of this attention. And I love that all of these people are hanging on my every word and want me to choose them. And so they don't know how to like engage ethically.
Yes.
And then they end up making these decisions where like, okay, sure, whatever, they pick somebody, right? But I don't think that they were really ready to let go of the power that they had, which is why I think people like Jeremy end up doing this like this double agent thing.
It is, yeah, it
where
is
like you're lying to her, you're lying to her, you're like doing all of this like two-faced like bullshit. Like the classic
trying to take two people to prom kind of stereotypes trope.
And so then you like get yourself into trouble, and it's almost like a surprise Pikachu of like, well, I thought this would be fine. Like, I didn't think this would blow up in my face, which like seems stupid, obviously, but I think it really is because of this like lack of foresight and this lack of like, I don't know, care or concern for like how to conduct yourself ethically when you're not in a scarcity mindset.
And I think too, that's why that TikTok is so relevant and interesting, because like dating shows in the past and stuff. And I think like just the fervence now, I think too, especially starting from like the first season of Love is Blind.
It's
like where we are now. And I think just like as dating and finding a partner, like especially like cis-hetero relationships and stuff, how more difficult it's become. And also too, like, for real, like, fuck Tinder and dating apps. Because like, I feel like they have done an unmeasurable amount of harm and damage to like the dating and like the general like
the like attitude about
well-being of people. And I'm not saying like men are like being disadvantaged or anything like that or whatever. You're so right though. Like the hyena thing, like no wonder there's this like fervence. But and also too, then I go back to like, no, people are just fucking trash.
Well, I think, I mean, I think there's an aspect of
shows like this really capitalize too on this like also too, something we were talking about the other day too, I'm so curious what it looks like then when, so essentially like for most millennials who are like the generally the demographic for this show.
I would say so, yeah.
Like 2000, you know, like the Y2K shit, the world almost ending then.
Yes.
The world almost ending in 2012.
Oh my God. Yes.
2008 and the financial crisis. Yes. 2016 and Trump, COVID.
Yep. Yeah.
Like those are just the couple things off the top of my head. Just like these
disasters. Grand,
like traumas essentially like we've experienced as a generation. And so we have like this like delayed adolescence almost going on.
Yes. And so oh my God. We were talking about this in the car.
Yeah.
Yes.
And so when we get in these positions, like, these, it's just, at least with my experience too, it's just people are using the apps to use people. Like, people want to get what they want out of it.
Yes.
And I want to talk about Jess here soon too.
Yeah.
Because I saw one TikTok from her and I was like, I fucking can't stand her.
Mm-hmm.
I think this is such an important moment too for us, is that like, we are so happy to change our minds and opinions about people.
We should normalize that.
Last episode, we were championing. I'm not going to be able to say it, but we were rooting for Jess.
Yes, like, we were Jessica Stan.
She said the thing. All women deserve to be able to get to say to shitty men.
Yeah.
And now I'm like, I can't fucking stand you.
No.
And I can't wait. I know this episode will be up a little bit after you've already watched it.
Yeah.
But I'm so curious to see how this shit goes down.
Mm-hmm.
Because if it's anything like from the previews we saw.
Yeah.
Like, my impression, and I'm going to say this for me, is that, and I know I'm going to assign a lot of, it's not nothing bad, but I really feel like she got on this show to get a husband, essentially.
Sure.
And I feel like this was a clout experience for her. I feel like, especially
where you were going with this.
Because especially too, after the, like, after you dissect a little bit more, after learning more about her now, it just feels like, because immediately to go back on TikTok now, after going through this experience that you weren't even a part of.
Yes.
Like, you didn't even have skin in the game.
No, I know.
And like, was this just your ticket to like getting to become
maybe.
In, yeah, like being another Lauren and Cameron?
It kind of feels that way.
And Cameron, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, Lauren and Cameron are the only like
real
successful couple.
But just chasing the like more screen time kind of a thing.
Yes. Well, and we also talked about how her social media presence is very like not giving girl, right?
Yeah.
Especially with like the preview. We ended up watching the preview at home. I didn't watch it live, but I've seen the preview for like the coming up or whatever. And if that's true, that there's like some kind of involvement between Jimmy and Jess or whatever, or
the
like
the way they have it previewed, they would lead us to believe.
Well, and then also people were talking on stream about how Jessica and Laura had a conversation at a bar. You didn't see this. Jessica and Laura had a conversation at a bar about, you know, like, oh, do you think Jimmy would still be interested in seeing me?
Oh,
and Laura
was
like,
they had
her definitely.
On the show?
Yeah.
See,
Laura and Jess were on the show just like chit-chatting. And basically Jessica was like, oh, do you think that Jimmy would still be interested in seeing me? And Laura's like, oh, definitely, yes. Which also, like, can we talk about how you're encouraging someone then, maybe in an implied way, to be a homewrecker in someone else's relationship, but then being surprised Pikachu when somebody else did it to you?
Also,
like,
too,
this is what I'm saying about the not a girl's girl thing.
Yeah.
Like, that's so disingenuous.
Also, too, it's so sad to boil it down to, but I feel like that probably just stuck in her craw so fucking bad. Because you're right, she probably has been used to getting her way.
Yes.
Like,
yeah, we talked about this off camera too, that like, I, especially after seeing her social media presence and the way that she's conducted herself, I was hoping at the time that she was talking about her physical appearance during that speech as like,
we,
you know, oh, you know, like, you know, people are imperfect.
We hope,
right?
We do try to see the best in people. We do. And it does
so
get
naive.
We do get got because of it sometimes.
But it seems like that might be more indicative of this belief that she has, that she, because she's conventionally attractive.
She's owed.
Well, and I think that has afforded her some social power that she took for granted.
We talk about the capital thing all the time.
And I think because in this experience, she wasn't able to leverage that social capital to get what she wanted. Well, I think it's a blindness, like quite literally.
Oh.
I think it's like an unawareness. You know how we joke sometimes about like, you know, it wasn't manifestation, it was just white privilege.
Oh yes,
it's that, right? Like,
yes.
Some people really do walk around with this expectation that like, oh my gosh, I'm just so good at manifesting things. I'm so lucky. Yeah. And like, no babe, it's white privilege, right? Or like, it's just privilege generally. You you had the card stacked in your favor, and then when you pulled the final card for your royal flush, you're like, oh,
I can't believe it.
And like, it's because you had four of them to begin with, you know? So I think she might have been under the impression that when people give her deference or just like let her get or do whatever she wants. Yeah. That it was just, you know, I don't know, like either a luck or some kind of other trait that she had that afforded her that. And like the truth is that I think a fair amount of that is because of her social capital and being a conventionally attractive person. And because she couldn't leverage that, we were all of a sudden feeling ineffectual and sour grapes, and we used that moment then to try to be cruel and like shit on somebody else because you felt small. Yes. Which is a thing that I just fundamentally don't fucking
but
respect.
But also too, can we fucking talk about real quick? In her speech, she did the thing like, oh, you know, like I don't need a man that I need to be take care of, and all this big talk about this. But then also we're gonna run back and homewreck a relationship for Jimmy?
For Jimmy. For the guy who looks like the thumb from Spy Kids.
From Spy Kids.
Hello?
Literally from Spy Kids.
And like looks aren't everything.
No.
But also like the man lacks the emotional intelligence to have a well thought out conversation with Chelsea, at least on camera.
But then also like has, yes.
And like doesn't really seem to be doing the most as far as like validating and supporting his partner. Doesn't seem to be particularly good at acts of service. Doesn't seem to be particularly good at quality time. Doesn't really seem to be doing a whole lot of anything really in his relationship except for negging Chelsea.
Yes.
But somehow he's like the most attractive person that you've ever met. Yeah.
Jess needs to go.
Yes.
But also, can we also talk about too the in the same breath too his friend sitting there dogging on him because he requires someone in their words to push air into his lungs to keep him alive.
Yeah.
Like that man should be groveling at Chelsea's feet with like NRE and not that it's a good thing, but fucking enmeshment and dependence.
Yes. Like, he should be obsessed with her.
Yeah, that's my impression of this. And so, like, I think that just further goes to prove, like, also to them throwing around love and, like,
we are
saying the
L word
way too fucking quick in these shows.
That's just me as a person. But, like,
not to, like, gatekeep love, obviously.
No. But, like, I've had whole existential crises about, like, what is love really anyways? Yeah. And how do you really know? You know? And, like,
absolutely.
Here are these people just after 8 days. Being like, I love you. And I know that the experience is unique and it's not something that you can quantify if you've not gone through it and all the caveat.
I totally can validate that.
But it does also seem too fast.
It
seems like maybe what we're experiencing is infatuation and we're calling it love.
Yes. You know? I also think too, and we're talking about this a little bit with Jeremy, who is the one, I'm going to get their names right at some point. Jeremy is the
Sunglasses guy. Yeah.
I think this... To me, it's like, so we talked about the entitlement earlier a little bit, like with Clay and like having his business be farther away and stuff. And AD just being like, hey, can we like spend the night together?
Yes, I want to sleep in the same house as my fiance.
What a low bar.
I know.
When I'm telling you like these people are not thinking past, just getting past, like what would your impression be of like spending?
What did you think getting married was going to fucking look like, my dude?
I also think it's so interesting, too, now.
Yeah.
I feel like in the earlier seasons of Love is Blind, because we also joked about this, too, then, is like these people still aren't really in real life.
No.
Because no
one's
working.
They're living in paid-for homes by the production company. Yeah.
I don't remember anyone working still regularly in the other seasons, maybe.
I don't remember.
But I feel like everyone still is like very much now still having to have their jobs and like can't do the thing where like we're just away from work for weeks at a time. Mm-hmm, like also, too, I think that's just an interesting take on like the economy.
Stuff
for my own, but I just like I don't know what their impression is of being like in relationship with also too if we're being for all intents and purposes people who are already like the bar is so low for them on what they are looking for,
like what they're required to do as a male partner, and still somehow we're saying that you're asking for too much. Like it's what so offensive. It's offensive is what it is. I just don't understand how, like, you know, basically the bar is like, don't lie or cheat on me.
Yeah.
Spend
sometimes
almost, you know, every day with me, at least some time with me every day, at least. And like, don't actively be emotionally abusive to me, at least most of the time.
At least most of the time.
And still somehow all of the men on the season are shitting the bed at those expectations.
I think too. I think that's
hello?
Why the gossip and like if more men watched reality TV and we like made it more of a regular thing, like I feel like people would like understand like processing emotion, maybe not understand, but like could at least like
some awareness
we could
of
like
it.
Fathom. I think that's too, like watching it with chat and with everybody is so important because like we're learning things together.
Yes.
But also too, like someone learning like, wow, everyone really, okay, this is going to be the pair ring thing. The diamond ring, the ring, the shape of ring
the pear
everyone
shaped.
Hates.
Yeah.
Yeah. Not really something I was privy to, but then like everyone being in chat, like be like, oh my God,
see?
Never buy a fucking pear-shaped ring.
And unless then you know that that's what somebody wants.
Totally.
Right? Like that's fine if that's what somebody likes.
But like again too.
But as an out of, out of nowhere choice. It's very interesting.
The next week, finding out someone bought their soon to be fiance a pear shaped ring. And I'm like, what are you fucking doing? I didn't say anything because it's not my business. You don't know.
Sure.
But just like things like that, or like how to operate and function in a relationship, because I feel like it would be so more like, because I really think that I'm like, these people have to have watched other seasons of this show, right?
Oh,
like,
yeah. They have hope so.
They have to have some
awareness of it. Yeah.
And I feel like it's like little traps. Like, they set little traps that are so obvious. Like, they're like speed bumps coming from 10 miles away.
Yes.
And like, we're still
all you have to do is slow down.
Getting piss-ass drunk in a situation where all the people from the pods together. Also, that's just so dirty from the producers. Like,
I know.
Love the drama, but hate the...
We're like emotionally manipulating people for the purpose of making content. Like,
why do they need to be on there?
Which is so hateful.
Like, why do we need to have a barbecue with everyone?
I don't know. We don't. Especially like the preview of the upcoming barbecue with like Jess and Sarah Ann and everybody being there. Like, why does everyone need to be there? Why? Why are you fingering people's emotional wounds for what? Right now? The other thing that I think we should talk about too is, I lost my train of thought again.
Pumpkin, I feel that.
Hello, hi. I got sick and tired of my shirt, so I took it off.
It's okay to have sensory issues.
Thank you. The other thing that I want to talk about is the delayed adolescence thing that you mentioned earlier, because I don't think we circled back around to it yet.
Probably didn't.
But I do think there's an interesting conversation to be had about how childish, especially the men are on the show. Like, the messiness thing is kind of what we talked about.
Yes. Talk about it.
Because we sort of touched on it earlier with like the way that millennials have been forced into adulthood.
Yeah,
right?
Thank you for bringing us back.
like with, you know, like
the adulting thing comes to mind. And like,
yes. Well, yeah. And like, there's a lot of online like memeing happening about like, you know, being a 28-year-old toddler and all of this stuff and whatever, right? And like, in a way, I think there's I do think it's valid, because like, you know, our generation especially, like, we got sold this lie that if you go to college and high achieve and, you know,
do everything right.
Yes, especially this generation of people who were parentified children from the beginning, right? Literally. Like, go to school, get a college degree, be high achieving, get all of the gold stars and collect all of the trophies, and your life will be so much better than ours, right? Yeah. Like, you won't lose all of your financial security at the age of 30, 40 something, and you'll get a good job, and like, you know, you'll be able to pay off your student loans with whatever income that you make.
Take out as much as you want.
I remember them telling us, like, you know, if you take out student loans to become a doctor, like, you can pay off your student loans with your first year's salary
in a couple years.
Yeah, you'll be able to pay them off in the first year. So quick. Yeah, except that like nobody told us that the interest rates were going to be predatory as fuck.
Everything would cost a bajillion dollars,
and that by the time we finished school, that all of our wages would be not in alignment with inflation and like the cost of living and all of this stuff. So like, we really got sold this lie that like, if we just high achieve enough, then our lives will be really great.
Yeah.
And it pushed this generation of very parentified children to become even more adult and like grown up than we should have been at that age, you know, which then has led to a lot of people in, you know, like our age bracket, like the late 20s, early 30s, mid 30s, doing this like reclaiming of our youth.
The, like, third of life crisis.
Yes. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. I've seen people call it a quarter life crisis.
Yeah.
Which feels really accurate. You know, like, people realizing we've both done this. Right? That like, I don't want to be mature. I don't want to be messy. Grown up. Yeah. I want the opportunity to have been messy and, you know, irresponsible or childish, or especially the rise in intentionally child-free people is like directly correlated to that. I think
I don't
like
see how it could not be.
I've been a parent enough, like, to own parents or to my siblings or to myself even.
Been there, done that.
I'm done. I don't want to be a parent anymore, right? And so there's an aspect of that that seems to kind of come out in these people where, like, especially the men, like, we talked about how they're just, like, power drunk with finally having options, like, more than one option at a time. But it does also seem like the thing where, like, I'm not ready to give up all of this power. And also, I'm enjoying getting to be childish and messy.
Like, also, like, fought for, or, like, not fought for, but, like, sought after.
Yes. Yeah, exactly. And I think people like Jeremy, because they've done, I mean, seemingly no meaningful introspection about themselves or their identity or, like, you know, their own wounds or whatever, they use that emotional overwhelm as a weapon to then victimize people like Laura, which, like, let's be clear, I'm not Laura's biggest fan, but still, like, you know, basically giving yourself a write-off to go cheat on your fiance and like turn on your notification or your location and assume that no one will notice and just, like, you know, fingers crossed.
Here we go.
Hope like, for the best. It is a very like childish thing to do. Absolutely. You know?
I think too, as and especially too, as someone who like at the like when we started being polyamorous too, mm-hmm. as someone who dated entirely too many people at once and entirely like took on many. Way too, like
it was a lot.
Just way more than I was capable really of or ever should have like completely yeah. irresponsible. The pods are so interesting because it's like the one time I guess like for all lack of a better term, like straight sure. people are allowed to date multiple people at the same time, yeah. you know, because I feel like there's this yeah. like air of like secrecy. Like I get it yes. a lot. Or I've seen it a lot where it's like polyamorous people date multiple people, but the difference is that we just tell everyone.
Yes. And we're like ethical whereas, about like, it.
With cis hetero relationships, there's like yeah. this air of like once you're dating someone, like you guys are single and yes. not single, but you know, exclusive.
Yeah.
Yes. But then like there's always this like, oh, having someone in your back pocket and like yes. this.
Well, and how do we bring up the exclusivity conversation? Yes,
and all this, whereas like if people were just being honest, because I always, mm-hmm. that used to always crack me up when people being like, oh, I could never be polyamorous, but like,
yeah.
you're just doing the same thing
yeah.
as polyamorous people are, as yeah. you are being single. You're just not telling any of, like, I don't yes. think I've ever met anybody that wasn't also dating other people.
Yes.
At the same, like, if yes. you're dating
that's
to
a
also,
very normal part of dating app yeah, culture is that, like, in order for you to get to the point where you're exclusive with someone, you have to have that conversation. Because yeah. otherwise, you don't know how many other people exactly. they're dating.
Which
you know?
I think is such an interesting, too. It's, like, such a power play from, yes. I mean, especially from, like, yeah. male, like...
The men on the show.
Or, well, I think, like, men in general.
Oh, yeah.
But it's like a form of power.
Yes. I mean,
it's like
no, the, it definitely is.
This season, I think, really highlights the person who cares the least in their relationship
yes.
has the most control at all uh-huh. times.
Which is so toxic.
Yeah,
like, can
it's
we
awful.
Please stop uplifting that as yeah. a value that we should ascribe to? Because it's so fucking hateful.
Because it also just puts you in a continuous cycle of, like, one person reaching and reaching and reaching.
Yes.
And, like...
Which is, like... Chelsea and Jimmy's dynamic personified.
No, and I said this in the stream too, but we're in a competition to see who can yeah. convince themselves they love each other the most. And
yes,
like,
neither of you feel that way though.
At all.
It really seems like Chelsea's draw to the relationship is the validation. I've seen a lot of people comment about how
oh, okay.
they think for her there was a dual validation of like being chosen, but also in being chosen above the like most attractive woman. It's yeah. like a winning thing.
It's like a winning thing.
Yeah. And I
and
think
Jess lost.
Yes.
And is sour grapes
so
about it.
So she got sour grapes about it and decided to take it out on him.
Yeah.
But also that Jimmy.
I don't take it out on her. On it, like.
Yes. Well, that's the other thing that really irritates me about it too is that she. It seems like her ego was bruised, that she couldn't manipulate the situation to be exactly what she wanted, right? She couldn't
yeah.
guarantee the outcome that favored her. And so she got all hurt and, you know, acted out basically like a child.
I can't wait to see how this next episode.
I know. But
I'm
then
so
also, she is taking down other women alongside her.
Yeah,
like, not
like,
only because
that?
She's, you know, like she said something on the most recent episode about how, like, oh, you know, Chelsea is beautiful and incredible and blah, 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 and all this stuff. But Jimmy's a man.
She said that?
Yeah. She's like, but Jimmy's a man. And we all know that, like, if I'm in front of him, then of course he's going to be tempted. Basically, the subtext
she said that,
being.
Like, on, like,
yes, in her. In, like, and she literally
like,
told.
Saw that?
Yeah, she literally said in her talking head, don't look at me like I'm wrong. Like, don't look at me like you don't know that that's the truth also.
She said that in a talking
yes.
head, like, in the show, like, not
yes,
a preview?
To the camera on purpose. Yes.
That is not girls shit.
And that's what I'm saying, that like her, like the subtext being that like, we all know that I'm more attractive and so therefore
that's
better
so
than Chelsea.
Fucked up.
Like, fuck you, dude. That's so hateful.
No, also too, because Chelsea's not, like, also too, I even made that, I was like,
yes.
Once she got out of the wardrobe and them doing her makeup and stuff.
Yes.
Like,
when
so
she
much
looks
more,
like herself.
Yeah.
She's a very attractive woman.
I
also too, let's be clear that somebody's like conventional
attractiveness
shouldn't have any bearing on their value at all,
of course,
right?
But just for the sake of getting in the mud with the people on the show.
Well, and but also, like, just to be clear that, like, this discourse about, like, Chelsea doesn't look like Megan Fox. Chelsea doesn't look like Megan Fox. Like, first of all, yes, she does. But second of all, like, how misogynistic are we going to get before we acknowledge the fact that we're all lost in the weeds pitting these two women against each
yes.
other for the purpose of what?
Of
gaining
what?
Approval
what?
From somebody like Jimmy? Ooh, like, why?
Also,
did he pick you yet?
No, literally, also,
like,
to my
do you
impression,
feel special?
Because also, to my impression would be Jessica would fucking hate being in a relationship with him, too. So, like, what
I
is it for?
I don't know who would like being in a relationship with Jimmy based on the way he's behaved on the show.
Oh, my God.
He seems like he's lacking in, like, almost every major relationship department. He's not very
like
effective
yeah.
at communicating. He's not very effective at emoting. He's not very effective at showing or giving affection or attention. He's not very effective at being, like, on the same page yeah. as his partners. So what are you good at?
Can you imagine if I every time I told you I love you, I was just like, I love you.
Or also that was like the most that I would get.
Yeah, like.
Like, hello?
And like, I would die a thousand deaths on the inside.
Our relationship norms are going to be different than other people's, and that's fine. I'm not saying that everybody's relationship needs to look like ours to be healthy, obviously.
Of course.
But like, you know, him saying like, oh, I kissed you on the cheek today. So I kissed you today. Like, I kiss you when you leave a room.
Emma, is that
like,
your mom?
I tell you, I tell you I love you and be careful when you go from my office to your office.
Yeah.
Like, you know, I just don't understand the expectation that Chelsea is like reaching for the stars.
Asking for so
for
much.
Wanting her partner, who again, she just met. Y'all should be obsessed with each other.
Literally.
For wanting you to care about her enough to like kiss her and hug her and be affectionate towards her. What? I don't understand and I don't relate to the behavior. And I think the thing about it that's especially offensive to me is that all of these people who are like shitting on Chelsea for her looks, or like Jessica, who seems to be positioning herself to get involved in somebody else's relationship and like home wrecking basically, is doing it for the approval of a man who seems to lack the emotional maturity or intelligence to be at best a mediocre partner.
I just
like, this is so incredibly disappointing that in the year 2024, the path that Jessica chose is to use this moment where she got platformed as like, you know, this like sort of hero in this moment.
Yeah, to
undo all of the.
I know her speech like, is so vain now, or so.
It feels very different now.
It's so hollow.
Yeah.
It's so hollow.
Yeah. Knowing like, that there's like no actual heart behind it, and that most of what she said to him is more so a result of like sour grapes because she's not actually very feminist in nature, is so disappointing.
I just, you know.
It's sad. This is why you should not meet your heroes or like idolize people on reality TV.
And I know we talk about too, like hoping for the best and like not, and like trying to not obviously. Judge people by.
Sure.
Judge
sure.
a book by its cover. But then when the cover. The cover contents inside really do match the cover.
Yeah, and you're like, it sucks. That's kind of disappointing. Yeah.
So, as always, it's always good to be able to change your opinion.
Yeah.
Yeah, do you have any other thoughts on that?
I don't think so. Is there anything else we wanted to talk about?
I think we got it all. We probably missed some stuff in there.
Yeah,
so
that's fine.
We didn't
even talk about Brittany and Kenneth. But I think at this point, the episode's already an hour long, so we'll call it there. There's plenty for us to discuss. We're also planning on making recap episodes about the season as I finish batches of the episodes from streaming.
Yeah.
So we'll update you guys after we see whatever fuckery awaits in episodes 10 and 11. Can we just talk also about how annoyed I am that they released the episodes in batches of three? The first one was six, which is insane. But then they released three episodes and now we're doing two, and then the next release will be one. And then probably a reunion after that.
Yeah.
Like, tell me that Netflix doesn't drag the content out on purpose.
Because I'm like, I wouldn't want them to drop it all at once, I guess. But also, yeah, I don't know.
But it is just very annoying the way that, like, you could have dropped the last three episodes at once and then done the finale or the reunion. But
I don't know if it's like help people catch up or it's just to drag it out.
Yeah, it's just to drag it out. Let's be honest. Especially because there's always filler episodes where like we're just watching them do fuck all for God only knows how long.
The hour long last episode before the altar one where we're just sitting there. I don't know. Do you think they'll do it? Maybe they won't.
Yeah. And like endless B-roll of the wedding dress and someone walking in and someone walking out and someone getting ready. Just like, okay.
Talking to the dudes, talking to all the bros.
You ready to get
locked down? Last day as a single man.
It's so sad.
It is. It'll be in there, I promise. That should have been on the bingo sheet.
Yeah, that should have been on the bingo sheet. Last day as a single man. I don't understand that perspective. Like, don't get married then.
Don't get married.
If you don't like your partner or you don't like the idea of getting married, then don't.
Get married.
Like, who's holding you at gunpoint? Hello?
No one that I saw.
It's so weird. Whatever. Anyways, okay, we're going to wrap it there. If you guys enjoy the episodes, you can like the episodes. You can also subscribe and do all of those things. You can leave us 5-star reviews on whatever platform you're listening on, because that's always helpful. And then that's it. We'll catch you for the next episode, and we love you the most. Bye.